Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we share some of our favorite TV show theme songs. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, we have some new music to review from Peter Gabriel.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All the phones take pictures while it's warm.
Panopticon, let's find out what's going on. Panopticon, let's see what clues are leading. Panopticon, won't you show?
That is a little bit of a song called Panopticon, which launches Peter Gabriel's first album in, I think, approximately forever, Greg. 10th studio album from Peter Gabriel, 21 years since he put out Up in 2002. Now, there were two albums of orchestral music, 2010, 2011. I don't think even Peter listened to those. He was one of the most important and creative forces to emerge from the progressive rock era just post-psychedelia in the UK in the early 70s. He, of course, was introduced to the world as the lead singer of Genesis. He leaves after The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, which remains one of the weirdest epic concept albums of all time. People thought Genesis was done. People thought Gabriel was done. Instead, between 77 and 82, Peter Gabriel really remade himself as a fantastic art rock experimental artist who also gave us great rock and pop songs. Four albums, all titled simply Peter Gabriel. Then something weird happened. I am always struck by that period when the progressive rock giants of the early 70s, prone to tales from topographic oceans and great mystical journeys into the ether, suddenly became like dance pop acts. You know, Genesis gives us We Can't Dance. Yes, in various incarnations, has a bunch of pop hits. And Gabriel becomes a dance artist, really, with So, Us, and Up between 86 and 2002. Now, 21 years later, nobody thought we'd hear from Peter Gabriel again. There he is on the cover, holding his head in his hands, looking like he's got the weight of the world on him, and he's full of uncertainty. This is a great quote I found. Phil Collins, the drummer who became the singer in Genesis when Gabriel left, said that Peter is one of the great ummers and ers of all time. In other words, he cooks something until it's way overdone. He's never finished. He's always doubting himself. He's wondering if he has something to say or if his current project is finished. Now, many of these songs apparently date on the new album. It's called I.O. I should have said that earlier. Date back to the Up period, but Gabriel has newly finished them with some longtime stalwarts, including Tony Levin, the great bass player, and my friend Brian Eno, helping with some production. And Eno, what did they call it on Lamb Lies Down on Broadway? Enosification. Mm-hmm. Okay. I.O. Input, output, technical studio digital term, but also the name of the moon of Jupiter, one of the moons of Jupiter. And this album, apparently, all of the songs have some connection to astronomy. So that's what's on Peter's mind. And he's given us a bounty of music because every song here has what he calls a bright side mix and a dark side mix, two sides of the moon. It's always dark on the other side of the moon, Pink Floyd, etc. Okay, let's play a track from I.O. by Peter Gabriel, and then we'll get into our reviews. This is called Playing for Time from I.O. by the great Peter Gabriel.
Far away, out amongst the stars, there's a planet spinning slowly. We call it ours. Anytime, any day, any moment that we bring to life will never fade away.
That is Playing for Time from the new Peter Gabriel record, I.O. Jim, I have to say, as we contemplated reviewing this album, I go, oh, no. You know, I've listened to way too many ponderous Peter Gabriel albums for about 20, 30 years now. I'm a huge fan of the early stuff. I thought, you know, the longer stretches between records, the overworked records that he was putting out, the orchestral records really lost me. Yeah. I know the fans probably love them. I just couldn't get through them and enjoy them. The last solo record I thought was a disappointment, ponderous, difficult to listen to. Just the weight of the world on his shoulders at all times. And then I listen to this record and I go, damn, this is pretty good.
It's a great record.
It's a light record, light heart. I mean, it's lighter than we know Gabriel to be. Mm-hmm. He's writing pop-ish songs, but still with an incredible amount of detail in them. I was really surprised, pleasantly so, that he'd made a record like this at this stage in his life. The song Playing for Time is particularly appropriate. The reference of climbing that hill back to Salisbury Hill, the first single he released back in the late 70s.
His first solo hit.
He's on that hill again here. But now he's looking back. That was about cutting all those ties and going forward, cutting the cord with Genesis. Here we have him looking back wistfully and saying, enjoy what you got left.
Yeah.
We're all facing death. How do you live in that moment? Any moment that we're living, that we bring to life. Ridiculous, sublime. He's basically saying, enjoy it all.
There's a hill that we must climb.
I really surprisingly love this record.
No, I agree. I think it's a masterpiece, Greg. There's two Peter Gabriels. The first four self-titled albums were so innovative. Him as a solo artist, all of those four called Peter Gabriel simply, eliminating cymbals and bringing in these African rhythms, the huge gated drum sound before Collins got to it within the air tonight. The voice was always there, but the way he was playing with different world beats, incorporating them into rock and roll, I think those those albums are just classics. Then we get the Peter pop era. So, Us and Up. You know, Genesis gives us We Can't Dance. Yes goes to have pop hits. What happened to these prog giants who were all about reinventing this form of rock and roll? And then they all, you know, become pop stars. I didn't care for that, Gabriel. Nobody, like I said, listened to the orchestral record, Scratch My Back, New Blood. And here he is now with sort of the best elements of the dance pop hit era, the MTV era, Sledgehammer, but full of the innovations of those art rock albums.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about the universe and even Playing for Time is a song about, you know, is he talking about each of us playing for time and living in the existential now, but also our world
right.
is melting down, right? This blue orb in the universe is in trouble. Eno cared about that on his last album, and it was dreadfully dull and ponderous, your word of the day. Mm-hmm. Gabriel's doing it in a way that still gives us hope.
Just when you think it can't get worse, the mind reveals the universe. Up the distant star that gives you straight just who you are. I'm more a dog, you're more a cat. Then we've gotten bored of that. Alive again, about a snake. Then we jump into the lake.
I'm glad to have him back. I'm thrilled. It came out so late in the year, we missed it in 2023. This was a fine, fine album, though. That's what we thought of Peter Gabriel's I.O., but as always, we want to hear from you. What do you make of this record? Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. Now, when we come back, we'll share some of our favorite TV show theme songs. That's coming up on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. Greg, there was a time when if I said the two of us watch a lot of television with our significant others, people would be like, oh, you idiots, right? We are living in a golden age of quality TV.
That's true.
Somewhat slowed down by the pandemic and the writers and actors strike, but still there is so much creativity happening that, you know, you can binge these shows and there's so much available to us. These great, you know, series that lasted a decade on British TV that ended 15 years ago. You can catch up with them, right? So, you know, Carmel and I spend our cold winter nights enjoying these shows, and she was, for a time, the TV editor of the Chicago Tribune, where you worked. You know, she has great taste. I just follow her. Whatever she wants to watch, I go with her.
Yeah.
And often, you know, her musical knowledge is not as wide as mine. I would not expect it to be, right? But, and she'll hear a song and she'll say, hey, do you know this? Yeah, I know that song, right? And here it is as the theme song for a great new show. It got us thinking. We've done several interviews over the years with music supervisors who have an unerring ear for choosing a great track, introducing it, to a new audience via what they're doing in a television show. Think of Kate Bush running up the hill on Stranger Things, right? But we're talking specifically about the theme of a show that introduces each and every episode, even if after the first episode you hit skip intro. And I'm going to start with something I think I would never have said. A good Mick Jagger solo song. Good Jagger solo. Now, Slow Horses is one of the best shows on TV today, period.
Yeah.
Gary Oldham, as formerly Sid Vicious, you know, as a burned out old burping, farting spy who runs a group of misfits 6 inches away from being fired by MI5, the British CIA, and, you know, all sorts of chaos ensues, right? And Jagger apparently was such a fan of the series of books that this show is based on that he sat down and wrote a theme song for the show, and it's great. You know, to quote the man himself, he says it's got a kind of Kurt Vile vibe to it, and still bluesy without being blues. I hadn't done that before, and he ripped off a lot of the lyrics straight from the books. I love the show. I love the song. Heck, I love solo Mick Jagger, if only for 3 minutes. Here it is.
Surrounded by losers, misfits and boozers, hanging by your fingernails. You made one mistake, you got burned at the stake. You're finished, you're foolish, you fail. There's always a hope on this slippery slope. Somewhere a ghost of a chance to get back.
Strange Game by Mick Jagger opens every episode of Slow Horses. If you ain't seen it, see it now.
Oh, yeah. Well, your recommendation got me on the show, and lo and behold, that's Mick Jagger.
Yeah,
what's going on here?
What's he doing here?
The show's great. The song is great. I want to go back a few decades for mine, because this was kind of a... It was one of those shows I caught up in when I was a teenager. You know, it had already aired. It was called Secret Agent, 1964 through 67. It started out in England and then was sort of refashioned a bit for the U.S. audience. But Patrick McGoohan was the agent, that this guy John Drake, and he was sort of like the anti-James Bond. He didn't use a gun. There wasn't like these romantic one-night stands that Bond was into.
He was stirred, not shaken.
He was quirky. He was a quirky secret agent, man. And I kind of, you know, I could relate to that. But man, what I could really relate to was this theme song for this for the show. Johnny Rivers doing an amazing job with the Secret Agent, written by P.F. Sloan, best known for Eve of Destruction.
He
wrote a ton of great songs, this being one of them. And that riff is P.F. Sloan's riff, and Johnny Rivers took it all the way. I mean, it's one of the all-time great guitar riffs. Rivers' version, the one that was a hit, was originally it was just a verse and a chorus and a little bit of that guitar for the theme song, and then Rivers fleshed it out at a live gig at the Whiskey A Go Go in 66, and it went to number 3 on the pop charts, indicating, you know, one of those first indications how a TV theme song could translate into a major pop song. And here's Secret Agent from Johnny.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away.
That is the theme song for the spy series Secret Agent from the 60s by Johnny Rivers.
Greg, going with some classics. I'm dealing with mainly newer stuff. You know, the great footnote to Secret Agent is that then McGoohan plays the prisoner.
Right, you know, a great series. Yeah.
For his secret agent doings, he gets entrapped on that psychedelic island. Okay, so this is one of those examples where Carmel had never heard this song, and we began to binge Peaky Blinders. This happens fairly often. It happened with Breaking Bad, too. We'll watch the first episode of a show that everybody's raving over, not get hooked, and then put it away, right? Mm-hmm. So many people came back to me and said, you've got to give Peaky Blinders
I'm going to raise my hand on
another
that
chance. Have you given it another chance?
No, I told you to go give it. I was like totally sold on it. And in fact, I've been playing songs from the show on Sound Opinions. And I'm really glad you're going to play the one that
Carmel had not heard Red Right Hand by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And it is probably his most famous song, even before it was used as this theme song. You know, he wrote it with Mick Harvey. It's based, as so many great Cave songs are, on epic literature, John Milton's poem Paradise Lost, a lot of Bible imagery,
right.
This sinister figure that happens to play in nicely to both the Irish gangs and the IRA, which figure in Peaky Blinders. Interestingly, it was the theme song for all five seasons, but not season six, the last, because Tommy, the main gangster character, who later played Oppenheimer, by the way, kind of remakes himself and becomes a good guy,
right.
And so you can't have Nick Cave anymore. So the question is, now there's a Peaky Blinders movie in production, do we get Cave or no Cave? But Red Right Hand, just a fantastic song, no matter what the context.
He'll appear out of nowhere, but he ain't what he seems. You'll see him in your head on a TV screen. Hey, buddy, I'm warning you to turn it off. He's a ghost, he's a god, he's a man, he's a guru. You're one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
Nick Cave, Red Right Hand, Cillian Murphy, man. What an actor.
What an actor. What a show. The songs, the choices on that show are incredibly astute. I recommend going back and finding the compilations of the songs that have been played on the show. Quite good. I'm going to go to... my wife in particular was a big fan of the show House, which was, a massive hit, 2004 to 2012. That David Shore series starring the great Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie.
As a misanthrope, one of the most misanthropic characters ever to star in a mainstream television show.
You know,
a drug addict genius.
A Brit. A Brit doing a fantastic Jersey accent.
Right.
You know, now, he's a blues pianist, and I advocated having him on the show to talk about one of his records, and I remember you shooting me down. I just wanted to talk to Dr. House.
Well, that's true, and I missed that opportunity, and I probably shouldn't have. But everything about the show was very astutely done, including the theme song, which was Teardrop by Massive Attack. The trip-hop flashback, right? The opening, they don't use the Elizabeth Fraser vocal, which would seem to be like, wow, that's the key to the song.
Yeah.
But they just play the intro to the song, basically, and it's just haunting, and it completely suits... the theme of the show. You know, each time that piano chord drops, the image changes in those first 30 seconds, and it's brilliantly done. It sets the mood for the show. It's all instrumental. You don't need the vocal. You just get that down-tempo vibe, that darkness, the harpsichord and the piano playing together. It's brilliant. It just sets up the show, and it tells you, we're in good hands here. This is going to be really cool.
No matter how weird your disease, Dr. House will figure it out.
That's right. The theme song from House, Teardrop by Massive Attack on Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
That's Teardrop, Massive Attack, the house theme.
Yeah.
Can't hear it now without without thinking of Hugh Laurie, right?
That's what a good theme song does. Right. Let's turn to our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, who's got a pick.
Hello. The song I chose this time for my TV song is I Don't Wanna Be by Gavin DeGraw, and it was used as the theme for One Tree Hill, and I think it's very iconic. I believe that they used that song for all 9 seasons, and maybe in like the last 2 seasons they like did a different rendition of it, but either way they still carried throughout the entire thing. As far as why they chose it, I have no idea, but I think it perfectly fits the theme. One Tree Hill came out in 2003, and it's, you know, about, it follows a group of friends that are going through high school and then like early life and all the struggles of being a teen. And I started binge watching that show. I probably binge watched that show maybe like once every couple years. I've probably binge watched it 7 times now. I'm not even joking. I love that show. There are some themes in it that are kind of problematic now, but overall, I think it still holds as like one of my favorite TV dramas. I think I don't really watch much TV nowadays, or at least like newer stuff. So I decided to go to a classic that I thought was pretty iconic, like I said. But yeah, here is I Don't Wanna Be by Gavin DeGraw, the theme song for One Tree Hill.
I don't wanna be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I peace of mind.
All right, One Tree Hill. Never saw One Tree Hill. I think Carmel watched it.
I did not either, but
we missed that.
There's so many great shows. I mean, it's impossible
to watch
everybody.
Everything.
I have so many recommendations for TV shows to watch, and I'm sure great theme songs, because the people picking these songs these days are very,
you know, if Sound Opinions wasn't barely surviving as a paying enterprise to pay our hardworking producers, we could do a TV podcast, Greg.
There you go.
As if we're looking for more work to do for free. Andrew Gill, our ace producer, has got a pick. This Andrew, this is a great one.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls, Carole King, Where You Lead, you know. And actually, you know, it's a song off Tapestry, right? But would you guys agree it's probably one of the most forgettable songs on Tapestry, maybe?
It doesn't stand out in context on that album.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't
its original
a hit, but
form,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the original version is subpar, because this version was re-recorded with her daughter, Louise Goffin, and
right.
They rewrote the lyrics because, you know, the original song was very like Stand By Your Man, she's described it as. It was very like I will follow a dude wherever he leads me, subservient, like not very pro-woman, you know.
And in the context of Gilmore Girls, it becomes about female friendship and strength.
Yeah, and a mother and a daughter, instead of like a woman saying I'll follow you man wherever you lead me. It's a mother saying, I will follow and support my daughter wherever she leads me. And it really like snatches that one from the, possible dustbin of history, because it was kind of a problematic song before, you know. But
I agree. Uh-huh. I agree.
Yeah. And I think Carole King and Louise Goffin agree as well. You know, she wasn't performing it live much. And there was a 2004 live DVD that she released where she commented on how she she just did not really like the song that much after it had come out. And now it's kind of like rebirthed. And so anyways, Gilmore Girls is just such a classic show. My household, we've rewatched the series probably like five times.
And then it's only on the fourth or fifth that you begin to catch some of the dialogue that went by so quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Famously.
You catch new things all the time. Yeah. It's yeah. But like that theme song, when it hits, even though I had never heard that song before I saw Gilmore Girls, I think. But it just hits and is really a great, there was a podcast maybe 10 years ago called Gilmore Guys, where two guys rewatched the whole series. And at the end of every episode of that podcast, them and whatever guests they had would sing the theme song. So if you're
maybe
if you're
that's
looking,
what we need to do, Greg.
Yeah. Oh, have our own theme song and then we can sing it.
Get the guests to sing along too. Yeah. So that's the key. Anyways, Where You Lead, this is technically called Where You Lead, I Will Follow. But I think the show actually only uses words that were in the original. It just leaves out the problematic parts. So here it is, Gilmore Girls.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you leave, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need, me to be with you, I will follow where you leave.
Gilmore Girls, Carole King and Louise Goffin provided the theme song, Where You Lead. When we come back, we'll play more great TV show theme songs in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, alotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing some of our favorite TV show theme songs. And now let's hear from our producer, Alex Claiborne. Alex, what have you got for us?
Hey, guys. The song I want to play for you today was the theme song of a short-lived HBO series called Winning Time. And it was about the dynasty of the Los Angeles Lakers in the late 70s, supposed to reach up until the early 90s, but unfortunately they canceled it after two seasons. But I will always be grateful that it introduced me to a song that I had not heard before, which was the song My Favorite Mutiny by The Coup, and it features Blackbot and Talib Kweli. And it is off their, I believe, 2006 album. I thought that this was the perfect theme song, and they feature Black Thought's verse, which is the first verse and the first chorus. And basically, they're calling for a mutiny and uprising against corrupt organizations, a change in the status quo, a recognition of marginalized people. And I think it fits well because of the time period in Los Angeles in which this series covers or was supposed to cover in that late 70s, the 80s, the early 90s, you know, all of the things going on like police brutality, race relations. You know, it really was a very impactful, and it's a hard hitting song. Black Thought is awesome. The chorus is great. It has almost a 70s vibe about it as well, a very soul-driven energy that I think worked well in the show and works great if you just listen to the song on its own or in context of the original album.
Your bare heels soaked the worn your boots. The game camouflage like army suits, but I can see it more clear because I came with the coupe in here. Ring the alarm, inform the troops. Send them out into the world, go to war on a fluke. Eye to eye with the enemy you sworn to shoot. Now I'm coming at your neck, sick of something wrong with me. I'm something wrong with you. When the cheek just way too smart to question. The enemy, the brothers of a dark complexion. The governments of the world is shark infested. They have their own weaponry like Charlton Heston, man. Look, it gets low, man. Real low. Now I'm talking about. Get it.
That's The Coup, My Favorite Mutiny. Alex chose it for being the theme song of Winning Time. Greg, it's no fair because Alex could do 100 picks.
That's
she
true.
She is our TV.
She's a TV maven.
Pop culture maven. On
the
this
Poobah
show.
Of TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's turn to Columbia College intern, Max Hatlam.
Hey, everybody. So I picked the theme song for the show What We Do in the Shadows. It's an FX comedy about ancient vampires living in modern-day New York. It's very funny. And the theme song for the show is called You're Dead. It's by an artist named Norma Tanega. She was a late 60s folk rock artist. I personally didn't know who she was until seeing the show, or actually the movie that the show was based on. There was a movie in 2014 by the same name, and this was like a spinoff of that. Used the same song, and it's a great fit for a show about vampires. In the first line, she sings, "Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead and out of this world." And apparently the song was actually about this late 60s folk music scene in New York. I think Norma was expressing some frustrations with that. I think it's kind of telling of her career in that way, because she didn't play music a long time. First album was 66, second one was 71, and then she kind of transitioned into, like I said, playing percussion in some other bands, but mostly like painting and teaching, which is cool. But yeah, Norma Tanega is definitely my favorite artist that I've found through a TV show theme song.
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. You'll never get a second chance. Plan all your moves in advance. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead.
Man, I love that pick. You're Dead, Norma Tanega. That's a song from the mid-60s.
Yeah.
She kind of like presaged the singer-songwriter era, but she wrote some really amazing, kind of eccentric songs.
I think it was a great song. I think What We Do in the Shadows kind of jumped the shark, to use that TV term. I got tired of it after a bit, but what's your next pick?
I'm going to go to the theme song for The Godfather of Harlem, which I binged on a few months ago. I'd primarily drawn to it because of the cast. I noticed that Forrest Whitaker was going to be playing the drug lord Bumpy Johnson.
He's based on factual,
you know, a story, historical reference. This guy Bumpy, who was befriended Malcolm X, and even though they were completely opposites in a lot of ways in what they believed in, they tried to work together to uplift the black community. And the music, again, strikingly great. The theme song was just, my wife Deb started singing the theme song when the show wasn't playing, because it was just stuck in our heads. It was just one of those earworms that you couldn't get rid of. And it was a brilliantly done song. It's called Just In Case, with Swizz Beatz, Rick Ross, and DMX combining to play this theme that we heard consistently for weeks as we were binging on the show. You know, this soaring chorus with a church choir. The lyrics, open up my window again, I can hear death calling my name. I swear to God things ain't gonna change. I keep a revolver with your name just in case. This whole idea of, you know, being a black man in America in the 60s was dangerous business. It still is. It never went away. But it really gets to the heart of that issue in the black community. And the theme song totally encapsulated, even though hip-hop hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it spoke very much to what was happening in the historically based drama on the screen. This is Just In Case, the theme song for the Godfather of Harlem TV series.
Open up my window again. Open up my window.
Just in case, Swizz Beatz, Rick Ross, and DMX, theme from Godfather of Harlem, a great series. Check it out if you have not already.
Greg, I'm going to the long-running show Shameless. I used the phrase jump the shark earlier. I think it was great for a long time. I love the fact that it was showing us parts of Chicago that you never see in TV series. And a working class, lower class population you rarely see on TV. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how many times was Dad going to get drunk and ruin everything? I mean, after a while, it was done. You know, I was not a fan of the high-strung band of musicians from Michigan who form in Williamsburg. Where else in the early 2000s heyday of Strokes, Yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, The Luck You Got, the song that kicked off Shameless for such a long time, was second-rate White Stripes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounded like a White Stripes song, very much so. But it's a great song, and it was perfect for these down-on-their-luck family members that were the heart of the show. You know, think of the lyrics. Think of all the luck you got. Know that it's not for naught. You were beaming once before, but it's not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's about living in the muck and the mud, Shameless, but trying to make the best of it. And that's what this song, I think, perfectly captured. Came from an album called Moxie Bravo in 2006. The High Strung never achieved anything near the success of those other Brooklyn bands from the early 2000s, but they got a form of immortality nonetheless with this theme. Powered the show Shameless. I knew you'd have to have something from this show, Greg, where you're going next.
I wanted to go to something by Tom Waits, the song Way Down in the Hole, originally written for his 1987 album Frank's Wild Years, and then repurposed for one of the great series of all time, HBO's The Wire.
David Simon.
5 seasons of David Simon greatness, basically dissecting different aspects of Baltimore. Just urban drama of the highest level, acting, music, everything working together incredibly well. And the same well thought out theme song, you know, Waits way down in the hole is basically it's self-descriptive. I mean, it basically gets to the idea of the way a lot of people felt, the way a lot of people feel in this series about, you know, digging themselves out of a hole that just seems endless. Waits' song captured that, and each season had its own particular version of that theme. So it wasn't just Waits' version that was used. It was the Blind Boys of Alabama, mm-hmm. the Neville Brothers, Steve Earle. They were all contributing different versions per each season. So it's an incredible, you know, it's like a Sophie's Choice kind of deal. Which one do you think is the best?
Yeah,
I mean, they're all brilliant in their own way. If I had to choose just one, I'm a sucker for the Blind Boys of Alabama. And their version just blows me away every time I hear it. But and you can't go wrong with any of them, and it just so suits one of the greatest, grittiest TV series of all time. Here is Way Down in the Hole, as interpreted by the Blind Boys of Alabama, the Tom Waits song, the theme song for the Wire series.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk the straight and narrow track. Walk with Jesus, he'll save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole.
Good one, Greg. Tom Waits, Down in the Hole, Blind Boys of Alabama doing it. You ever go back to the earlier Simon Connected Homicide series?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we bought the DVD box set. Came in a little filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm going to Orange is the New Black, a revolutionary show in many ways, portraying women in prison, women of color, women of many ethnic origins, just so many great female actors. Greg, there was a period there where New York actresses, you know, people of color, trans people, Laverne Cox, you know, so many people who we wouldn't have seen on television were getting these roles and just killing it.
Mm-hmm.
So much talent in those casts. Now, I have never been a fan of the Russian-born, New York-based singer-songwriter Regina Spektor. Also, you know, burst onto the scene in that early 2000s explosion of creativity mm-hmm. in New York. She just had a little too much Broadway in her, you know? But I think her song, You've Got Time, written specifically for Orange is the New Black, just like Mick Jagger with Slow Horses, it was the perfect choice of the artist and the song. It is about animals trapped in the cage,
mm-hmm.
and it's got such a furious pent-up energy. It captures, I think, the feeling of being locked up, being behind bars. Showrunner Jenji Cohen said that she was listening to Regina Spektor the entire time she was writing the first episodes of Orange is the New Black, and then she was over the moon when Spektor said she would write a song and record a song to power that show. So Orange is the New Black was the show. Regina Spektor's You've Got Time. Regina Spektor, You Got Time. I think you like Regina Spektor overall a little more.
I'm just
a hair more.
Perhaps. I don't know. You know who was a big fan? I just remember this. The Strokes were huge Regina Spektor fans.
Yeah, well, they were all hanging out. You know. How much of it was personal and social and how much of it was musical?
I just remember them touting her long before I'd heard of her. And, you know, that got me on her on the Regina Spektor radar. I want to go back to the 70s and Sanford and Son, a groundbreaking show starring Red Fox. The fact that Red Fox was in America's homes every week during that era. I mean, one of the raunchiest comedians
of the blue.
Funny, funny as heck, but no way did he belong on mainstream TV. And there he was in Sanford and Son, starring, you know, Sanford, he played Fred Sanford, Red Fox, and his son was played by Damond Wilson. And the show for 5 years was quite well received, huge audience. And talked about just two guys owning a junk shop in Watts in
junkyard,
L.A.
Junkyard, yeah, I love it.
You know, based on a British sitcom, again, you know, Steptoe and Son was kind of the model for this, but they made it, now they're two black guys in a rough area, and it was brilliant. And the theme song was equally brilliant. Quincy Jones, who, you know, whatever you may think of Quincy, before he worked with Michael Jackson, I mean, he worked with everybody. He was an incredibly prolific composer, arranger, and producer. He'd done work with Ray Charles, Frank Sinatra, Count Basie, Ella Fitzgerald, and he wrote tons of TV and movie themes. I mean, it was one of his bread and butter revenue streams, right? Quincy, you know, he was in an incredible series of Deadlines when he was assigned to write a theme song for this new series. I interviewed him once, and he said, I knocked off the song in 20 minutes. I called it the Street Beater because I wanted something that was as wicked and gritty and funky as Fred Sanford's Junk Shop. I wanted something that, you know, that, you know, kind of orally gave you a window, a picture of that, of what that environment was like. You know, I wrote it what Red Fox looked like in the show. Mm. And it is gritty. They knocked it out in a matter of hours. Tommy Morgan's bass harmonica was like a really a big part of that theme. He wanted that sort of gravelly tone that emulated Sanford's voice. Mm. So here we got Quincy called the song Street Beater. It is better known as the theme song for Sanford and Son on Sound Opinions. Quincy Jones with the Street Beater from Sanford and Son, a 70s classic TV series.
You know, there was a stretch there where you couldn't go into a guitar store or a musical store in New York and not hear somebody playing that or the theme for Barney Miller.
Right.
Also
right.
Way, way up there. Right. Right? I got one last pick, Greg, and it's by Allo Black. I Need a Dollar. How to Make It in America was the show. You know, Carmel, as TV editor for a long stretch there, was always watching previews or the first two or three episodes of something to get ready to run coverage in the Chicago Tribune. This is not a show that she continued to watch and have me watch with her, but forever, like you were talking about Deb singing Swizz Beatz. She was going around saying, I need a dollar, mm-hmm. a dollar, a dollar. Is what I need. Show about two guys trying to make it in New York's infamous garment district. You get cutthroat there. And Allo Black just nailed it with this theme song. Egbert Nathaniel Dawkins III, raised in Orange County, California, of Panamanian parents, a really interesting artist, above and beyond connecting with most people via this television show. How to Make It in America, Allo Black's I Need a Dollar.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sowed. Tell you something, all that glitters ain't gold.
Allo Black, I Need a Dollar, from How to Make It in America. That's a good one to catch up on, Greg, yeah. If you haven't binged it.
I like the song.
That wraps up our favorite TV show theme songs. We could have gone on for 100 more picks, especially with Alex. But we want to hear from you. Do you have any that you would add to the list? Which songs keep you from hitting skip intro? Leave us a voice message on soundopinions.org with your thoughts. We can share them on the show. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Jim, next week, an in-depth interview with a great artist, an artist we've loved for many, many years, a polymath, if there ever was one, activist, teacher, poet, and a great songwriter and composer, Jamila Woods. And do not forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne. Our associate producer is Sol Delgadillo. And our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, while Katie Cott covers us on the social media front.
It's not gonna be a big production. It's not butterflies or fireworks. Said it's gonna be a tiny garden, but I feed it every day. I feed it every day. I feed it.